Good morning, and certainly welcome to each of you. I wasn't going to say this morning, but Emily sort of opened the door. And especially, I want to talk to you, the one who clapped afterwards. As Robert and I were talking about this, sharing back and forth a little bit, I did jokingly tell him that, you know, he is at risk, because I know that a lot of you will want to show up at River Corner next week after you hear the sermon this morning. So, you know, I'm counting on that. I'm going to be expecting that. As you listen to the songs, and as you, even the verse that she chose for the children's time this morning, that talked about being thankful in all circumstances, and she was joyful and happy and cheerful, and we sang joyfully, but I know that not all of you this week, that's the way your week was. Now, there's a lot of you I don't know. And most of you, I really don't know what happened this week. But if you are a normal group of people, and I'm assuming you are, then there is probably things that happened within the last week or the last 2 weeks that really were not all that joyful. You might even say that they were painful or that they caused you to suffer. Now, if you watch television and if you watch ads on television, you will realize that a lot of the ads are geared to getting rid or helping you with some type of suffering, some type of pain, some type of bad odor that you want to get rid of, or something. Because we want to be comfortable. We want to sit on comfortable seats. We want the temperature to be correct. We don't want to suffer in any way possible. If that is the case, then you probably chose to be identified with the wrong person when you chose to identify with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ calls us to suffer. Nobody likes to suffer. We have physical pain. Well, I sometimes wake up in the morning with a pain in my back. Or sometimes we do things, we hit our fingernail with a hammer, and we say, oh, phooey, because it hurts. And sometimes there's the emotional pain because people say things about us that may not be true, and it hurts. Or there's things happen in life that are just hurt and are painful. People die. And our emotions get caught up in that, and there's emotional pain, and there's spiritual pain. Sometimes the spiritual battles are such that it's a real warfare. And sometimes God convicts us because we don't follow him the way he would desire us to. And so there's all this pain and there's all this suffering, and we don't have to look far to know. But I want you to realize that that suffering is normal. You are not special because you suffer. It's pretty much a human condition, regardless who or where you are. I'd like to start by talking about three causes of suffering. First, we live in a sinful world. Ever since Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, God said, the world is going to change, and we live in a sinful world. And I believe that that sin not only affected Adam and Eve's relationship with God, but I also believe that sin affected creation around it, which is why we have hurricanes, which is why we have tornadoes, which is why we have earthquakes, which is why we have tsunamis. the sinful world around us, which is why we have to pull thorns and thistles out of our flower beds. And there's accidents that happen. There's things that happen that cause pain, whether it be a car accident, whether it be tripping and falling, whether it be playing and we end up hurting ourselves. There's pain. There's suffering. We live in a sinful world. Things are not perfect. And there's others around us who do evil. And we don't have to think about it very far. You know, you can think about the synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh just the last week and a half ago. We think about the car accident that happened up in Warwick. Suffering is normal. Accidents, sinful world, things happen. Another reason why sometimes we suffer is because we do wrong. Not all suffering is because of our sin, individual sin. But sometimes our suffering is because of our individual sin. My pocketbook may suffer a bit if I decide to drive 80 in a 35 zone. If I decide to steal, if I decide to abuse my body with things that my body was not meant for, that can cause suffering. And so when we do wrong, sometimes it does cause the suffering to happen. But suffering, not all suffering is because we do wrong, but we can cause and bring suffering on ourselves. When we lie, when we break relationships, when we say things in anger that we probably shouldn't have said, we can bring suffering on ourselves. But there's also a third way that we can suffer, and we can suffer because we follow Jesus. Jesus, when he called people to follow him, said, "Take up your cross and follow me." You don't hear that advertisement on television. I'm just not hearing that one. I'm hearing how to get rid of the pain. But when Jesus calls us, he says, "Take up your cross and follow me." And we'll look at examples later on of places throughout the years when people have suffered because they followed Jesus. Our text this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 4. And Peter was writing to the churches, and he was writing to both Jews and Gentiles, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 12, says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, so that you may be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or even as a mischief maker. Yet if any of you suffers as a Christian, do not consider it a disgrace, but glorify God because you bear his name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. If it begins with us, what will the end be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinners? Therefore, let those suffering in accordance with God's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator while continuing to do good." Wow. One of the things that we need to realize as Peter was writing this, and if we go back to the first verse that he was talking about in verse 12, where he says, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place. Some of the people that, you know, for the first century, the Jews were a nation and the Gentiles, and this gospel of Jesus Christ was being spread beyond the Jews to the Gentiles. The Jews were used to suffering. The Jews had been taken into captivity. The Jews were now being ruled by Rome. And while they could live at relatively peace, why, a Roman soldier could just come up to you and say, hey, Jay, you want to take my pack for a mile? It's your turn today. The Jews were used to it. But those who were not Jews were not so used to it. And so when they decided to follow Jesus, and because they followed Jesus, there's things that happened around them that caused suffering. They said, what's this? We don't have any framework to put that in. And I'm afraid sometimes, even in our churches and even with us today, we don't have a framework in which to put the suffering that can happen because of Jesus among us. So when Peter is writing this, he's talking about not being surprised, because if you follow Jesus, it's likely that you're going to suffer. What did Jesus say about suffering? Peter talked about rejoice insofar as you are sharing in Christ's suffering. Peter says, and be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. Now, when I roll out of bed in the morning and my back's hurting a little bit, which it does sometimes, I'm not sitting there saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, my back hurts this morning. It's going to be harder to bend over to tie my shoe. But Peter's saying, when you suffer because of Jesus, when you suffer because you were willing to tell someone about Jesus and they laughed in your face, rejoice, because God counted you worthy to suffer just as Christ suffered. That doesn't sound, I'm not even sure I want to go there. But Peter calls us to rejoice. And some of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 say, blessed are you, happy are you, when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We sang this morning about the hope, the living hope that we have in Jesus. And one of the ways that we need to do to get through this suffering, to move forward in the suffering, is to realize the hope that we have in Jesus. Sometimes our focus, sometimes my focus, is so much just what's next door, what's next week, what's tomorrow. And what is happening around me is causing that not to be quite the way I planned it to be. And yet Jesus is saying, think about the future. Think about your reward in heaven. Work towards your reward in heaven. Lift your eyes above what's going on around you. Because you're counted worthy to suffer. I know that's what all of you wanted to hear this morning. However, not all suffering is suffering because of Jesus. And Peter talked about that later on. He said, if you suffer because you're a murderer, if you suffer because you're a thief, or even if you suffer because you're a mischief maker, you don't have to be happy about that. You don't have to rejoice about that. And your reward in heaven isn't going to be greater because of that. If you suffer because of things that you do, don't think that that's suffering for Jesus. And the other aspect of that is that even if we suffer not because of things we do, like being a murderer, or a thief, a mischief maker, or breaking the speed limit, running a stop sign, but if we suffer because of the sinful world that we're in, the world will be watching us, how we respond to that suffering. The world will be watching, even though it may not be particularly because we call ourselves Christian and we follow Jesus. But the world will be watching and saying, how do you have hope when your mother just died? I just heard this week that a friend of mine's brother passed away a bit unexpectedly. How do we have hope in that? And the world will be watching, others will be watching and say, how are you relating to the suffering that happens around you? Suffering for Jesus. Stephen, who we consider to be the first martyr for Jesus, when they drug him out of the city and they began throwing stones at him, looked up, saw an angel or Jesus there. And how did he respond? He responded by saying, God, forgive them. Those stones hurt. I don't know, just, you know, I can't imagine what it would be like to be down there and have you pick up a bunch of stones and start throwing them at me. I can't imagine that. And yet Stephen had his hope in God was so strong that he said, Father, forgive them. Suffering for Jesus. Barnabas, who we know went with Paul on several of the missionary journeys, history tells us that he was possibly one of the 70 disciples that Jesus talked about at one point. He was an encourager, but toward the end of his life, he was dragged out of the city and he was burned in Cyprus in 64 AD. Drugged out of the city. Can you imagine having a chain, a rope tied around your ankles or your wrists? And being drugged down a gravel path because he followed Jesus, because he was willing to follow Jesus. We're going to jump a lot of centuries and go to the 16th century. And I picked two examples out of the Martyr's Mirror, which is a book of people who suffered. The interesting aspect about these people is that they suffered from other church leaders. They were part of the Anabaptist movement. I chose them also for another reason. The one I know is an ancestor of mine, Hans Jacob Hess. Jacob Gochnauer? I don't know. The name is spelled a little bit different, but it's possible that that spelling changed over the years. So when I saw that name, I said, well, it's possible that he would also be an ancestor of mine. But this is some of their story. Jacob was first driven out with his wife to the country. They took his family and they sort of scattered and took his children away and they got scattered. He was thrust into poverty. His house, his furniture, all his belongings were sold and none of it was given to him. None of it was given to his children, but were taken by the local authorities. He had escaped at that point, but later when he was going to try and come back and see if he could find his children, see if he could try and bring his family together, he got caught. They imprisoned him. They deprived him of his clothes, dressed him in a gray coat, fastened him to a chain, put him in prison. And after about a year and a half or so, it doesn't give a lot of details, but he died. He died because of what he believed about Jesus. He died because he was not willing to go alone. I was in a group of people within the last year or so, and we were discussing a little bit about martyrs and suffering. And one of the people in that group said, "If my kids were involved, I don't know that I could hold fast. I don't know that I would not deny if it might affect them." What are we willing to hold on to for the sake of Jesus? The second one, Hans Jacob Hess and his wife. He was a chosen and confirmed minister. He was apprehended three different times, the third time being in 1638. The first time he was apprehended, he was caught for 19 days, the second time for 8 weeks, the third for a year and a half. He also was stripped, along with some of his fellow believers, put in iron bonds for 16 weeks. But it says about them, he patiently bore with a steadfast mind until the time of his deliverance. His deliverance meaning his death. Holding fast, not denying the Jesus who he loved. His wife was also imprisoned and was given such bad food and water. After 63 weeks, she weakened, suffered, and died in prison. They wrote this about her. "Then this was the end of this pious heroine of Jesus, who, to receive the eternal blessed life because of uprightness of her faith, chose to die a lingering death rather than enjoy the temporal rest and pleasure of this life. Wherefore the gracious God shall therefore crown and reward her with an unfading crown of honor." Somehow we want to try and get to that crown of honor without the suffering. And I'm not sure it happens. Suffering didn't stop in the 16th, 17th, or 18th century, but it's continuing on around the world in the 21st century. Helen and her daughter Ava, after some persecution and preparation, when she was imprisoned, boldly proclaimed this about her faith in Christ. "I've decided to stand by faith. It doesn't matter what it costs. Because everything costs a price. When you buy bread, it costs a price. When you buy a car, it costs a price. When you follow Jesus, it costs a price. Everything costs a price." And she was willing to pay that price. Also, recently there was a Christian pilgrimage, and Islamic militants attacked three buses carrying Christians on their way to a desert monastery in Egypt, killing 7, wounding 19. They were simply going to worship, to be together. But because they were Christian, because they were willing to identify with Jesus, they died or were injured, were attacked. If on your way home today, you knew that the possibility existed that you would be attacked simply because you were here at New Danville this morning, would I be here? Would you be here? Does it mean that much for us to gather together, to share together, to laugh together, to eat donuts together, to drink coffee together? We've got to get those donuts at River Corner. We have the coffee, but we don't have the donuts. Simply, but if we knew that we were risking our lives to do it, would we be willing to do it? And would we sing with the same joyfulness and the same cheerfulness because of that? There's a girl named Leah who was captured as a slave. We don't know exactly what had happened, but some girls in that situation hope for martyrdom because it gets them out of the atrocities that happened to them. Perhaps through her witness, others will come to know Jesus. It does happen. It has happened in the past. And it goes back to that verse that the worship team read this morning in 2 Corinthians. For our momentary and light affliction are producing in us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. We do not lose focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. As we think about the suffering around the world, just encourage us to pray for Nigeria, where militants are warring against Christians. It's an estimated in the first 6 months of 2018, 6,000 people have been killed, 50,000 displaced, because they were willing to follow Jesus. If you ask the persecuted church around the world what their request is, one of their first requests would be, pray for us. Just simply pray for us to be faithful. Pray for us to have the courage to follow Jesus. If storms come, or maybe I should say when storms come, when the suffering comes, and perhaps it's closer than what we think, how can we stand strong? How can we encourage the believers around the world to stand strong? Sometimes you need to build around yourself a cell. Sometimes you need to get alone with God and just spend time focusing on Him. And one of the things that I would challenge you to do as you're focusing on Him is to realize how much Jesus loves you. Picture in your mind part of the time just the amount of the most loving, caring face that you can imagine. Jesus coming, looking at you and saying, I love you. You're my child. I'm preparing a place for you. Be faithful. The second one that they wrote was, God keeps secrets. In Isaiah 55, it talks about, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. We're not going to understand everything that happens or why everything happens. We can ask many, many questions, and we can try and figure out the circumstances, and we can try and figure out what's going on. We're not going to understand it all. God doesn't tell us all. We may not see the fruits of the work that we do, but God is faithful, and He will carry us through. The third one, weakness is a direct path to power. If great suffering, you discover that a different Jesus than the one you do a normal life. Pain and suffering bring it up to the surface, all the weak points of your personality. In my weakest state, I have an incredible realization that Jesus loved me right then. We realize we don't really have an overabundance of strength. Also, overcoming is greater than deliverance. When we're suffering, we want to try and get out of it. We want the pills to stop the suffering. We want the stretches to stop the suffering. We want to alleviate the pain whatever way we can. Here he's saying, overcoming, persevering is better than deliverance. We talked about forgiveness with Stephen. To be able to forgive those who are inflicting the suffering, the pain. Can we look at them and can we, through the amazing power of Jesus Christ, say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive you. It's not easy. It may not happen right away. And then obviously also to remain in prayer. What about us here at New Danville today? We probably came with not a great deal of suffering. If we were suffering too much or felt too bad this morning, we probably would have stayed home. But are we ready? And are we willing? And is our commitment and love to Jesus Christ great enough that we're willing to suffer, whatever the cost? That we're willing to hold on to Jesus more than anything else, more than our houses, more than our family, more than our friends? Are we saying, Jesus, you're everything? And remember the hope that He has for us, to follow Him and not fear what they may do to us. Let's pray. God, I admit that I don't want to suffer. Father, I do pray for my brothers and sisters around the world today who have suffered and are suffering because they're willing to confess Jesus as Lord. Father, I pray that you'll bring a spirit, a hope, and your love to them in a way that is beyond our imagination. Father, help them to see you. Help them to know your spirit. Help them to be steadfast. And Father, prepare a special place for them. Father, and help us to continue ourselves to develop our relationship to you in such a way that we realize how much you've done for us, how much you love us, so that when suffering, when trouble come, we too will be faithful, that we're willing to admit that we're followers of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.